Are you getting my point?
Yes. No, believe me, believe me. You have something that many people don't have. A lot of people in life, they are frustrated. Listen, that is, and you know the frustration? And it's not about poverty. Suicide rate is lowest where there's poverty like this one. How many of you people just commit suicide in Bangladesh? They don't have time to commit suicide. You have to eat to a particular level to commit suicide. So you have food. You now take the food away. You can ask, okay, let me commit suicide. All right, when you have never eaten to a particular level, no. You said, this life, before I die, I must chop that level too. So, so there's a drive in your soul. There's a drive. Me too. Waiting. So when you are reaching for something you don't have yet, at least you are alive. Hope is one of the strongest things that keep people alive. Hope. What is hope? An expectation. We have read it that it's supposed to be like this, but we are not experiencing it yet. So we make it a matter of prayer. Thy will be done. So, you know, I've tried to establish that it's not just thy will be done, as in to whom it may concern. We don't know what the will is, so, but whatever will it is, please be done. Are you getting my point? No. That's not what Jesus was teaching us. What Jesus was teaching us is that, look, different aspects of your life, you will discover different things. And anyone you discover and you're not experiencing it becomes a matter of prayer. You don't dismiss it. That you have something they are looking forward to is a manifestation of the fact, or is testimony to the fact that you are spiritually alive. You read a book. A man will tell you about manifestation of the power of God. You know how a dead man talks? He laughs. This one is a joke. The man doesn't know what he said. Like one of my friends, I used to call him pastor when we were serving. He said he read a book by a theologian. David said, I've been young and I'm old. All right, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the children beg bread. And the man concluded that David was either blind or he was lying. And that's a theologian. My friend read that book in theological school. I read another one, a theology book. Another one, I think, was on hermeneutics. And the man was analyzing the synoptic gospels. And when Jesus multiplied bread, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and thousands were fed. You know what the guy said? I wanted to beat him. Except, again, it was a book. I don't beat people anymore. I don't beat people anymore. I don't cool now, all right? But those days, I used to beat people inside books like that. You know what he said? He said, actually, it's not the way people think about it. That 5 loaves, those 5 loaves and 2 fish, were the typical content of the lunchbox that each person carried around. So what Jesus just did was to encourage them to share amongst themselves. And that's how 5,000 were fed. God is my witness. I'm not lying to you. I read it in a theology book. Listen to this. Boys, you don't catch any fish? They said, no. We have toiled all night. I've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word. He said, actually, they were fishing in the shallow parts of the sea. And Jesus now told them to move further inwards. And it was because they changed location that I said, you are a real fool. Sorry, I'm sorry. All right? You didn't like my language? Okay, I won't say it like that again. You are consecrated and you know, nailed down idiot. I will use more terrible words, though, if you guys don't quickly understand what I'm saying. Jesus showed up to experienced fishermen, men whose fathers were fishing before Joseph learned carpentry. Peter had been fishing when Elizabeth was trying to get pregnant. You get what I'm saying? And he needed Jesus to explain to him that Peter toiled all night and did not realize he was supposed to go to the deeper part of the sea. Did Jesus come with outboard motor? Powerboat to now move them further? That is how spiritually dead men reason. he saw a manifestation. And he dismissed it as it could not have happened. Why? After all, I have never seen a miracle in my life. That's the issue. He dismissed it and wrote a book analyzing the synoptic gospels. He did many things like that. Those two, I do remember that Jesus didn't multiply bread. In fact, I need to prove to you, I don't need to prove to you that he did, because he himself referred to it later. He referred to it later when they were saying that, when he talked to them about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, he says, because we didn't take bread. He said, listen to you. Listen to what you are saying. The last time you didn't have bread, when you had only this amount, how many baskets did you take up after? Do you get my point? If it was to share, why are they gathering the remnants? So that nothing will be wasted. They didn't know how to put it back into the pockets they brought it out from. But this is the point. This is how spiritually dead men talk. But for you, you have never seen fish multiplied or even ordinary gari increase in size beyond, you know, when you put gari in cup, they swell. You will never swell beyond the cup before self. Yet you read it in the scriptures that in the time of trouble, Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 pieces of fish. You don't dismiss it. But you are not happy. Then you carry the Bible, put it down, and say, Lord, what is happening? Last time I had 2 slices of bread, I went hungry for 6 days. Why didn't you multiply it? Are you getting my point? You're asking questions. It's a sign that you are spiritually alive. That's what I'm trying to explain. That you are asking questions and your heart is, you know, quizzing. Lord, what's going on? And a man said he was giving up to die. And then you healed him because he prayed. Last time that I was about to die, you know, I had to quickly make that emergency phone call. Now I take survive. According to that program on National Geographic, I should not be alive. There's one program they do. I think I died on Discovery or National Geographic because I should not be alive. You don't look up. Say, what is going on? Lord, see the amount of money I've spent on drugs. Yet, I have read that you brought people, a whole nation, out of Egypt, and there was not one feeble amongst them. What's going on? As somebody who's alive, you are getting my point? That is somebody who ain't dead yet. The ones that's dead yet puts a final word on it. Bam! Age of miracles is gone. When we get to heaven at the marriage supper, when the saints are gathered at the last assembly, no more heartbreaking. No more sad parting. Farewell to sorrow. Victory at last. You become a Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's Witnesses will excommunicate you from the midst of the assembly if you testify to the healing power of God. They literally will. They are more willing to accept that the devil healed you. If you came and said, brethren, please, I was sick last week. Then Satan came and killed me. Please pray that sickness may return. They will lay hands on you and return your sickness to you. Back to owner. You know, there's back to sender. But say that Jesus healed you and they kick your whole body. Not just your butt. Your whole body will be kicked out of the assembly. When Jesus said, pray, thy will be done. What was he saying? When matters come up like that, the expectation created in you by the word of God is not, it doesn't match, or your experience has not yet matched it. That gap is solved by that line of praying. That's why I said, ask and you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock and keep on knocking. Until the manifestation comes fully, we don't depart. It is not because, like we said before, my wife asked me that question before. If Daniel had left after the first day, instead of waiting for the 21 days, what would have happened? See, it is not that we are We don't believe that God heard the first day. Like Oswald Chambers said in one of his books, he said that in Christianity, it's not just about dropping your toy as a child. You call to God, my toy is broken. Give the Father and walk away. So when you're through, I'll come back and collect it. He says sometimes it is keeping the toy there and watching while the Father fixes it. Are you getting my point? Some time ago, somebody in my office dropped a work for me to help him do. I did it. And that time, he did it. Recently, he said, oh, someone said I should give you this to help him with. I said, hold it. Give it back to him. When he sees me, we will do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, let him hold it. Instead of just pushing it to me all the time. All right? Let him hold it. Then one day we'll see each other. I will settle down and say, okay, this is how I do it. Then after we've done it together a number of times, then the amount of stuff you are pushing over to me keeps dropping. What am I saying? There's a principle with that, in that when God is answering prayers. Like I said, why did it take God 25 years to give Abraham to Isaac? Couldn't they have given him on day one? He could. But why didn't he? Because for the way Abraham's life, later we're going to talk about different kinds of lives that God has for us believers to live. For the way Abraham's life was to be, he needed to understand the process of faith so that indeed he would be the father of faith. Because faith has a process. That's why the Bible calls Jesus the author and the perfecter. Not of our faith. King James says that, but literal Greek says the author and perfecter of faith. That is, he began the process of faith and finished it to the end on the earth. All right? Faith has a process. So Abraham had to conclude, all right? He had to pass through crucial processes of faith. He had to come to a point where the Bible said he was fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able to fulfill. And by the time he went to sacrifice Isaac, he was not deceiving his wife when he said, I and the lad will return back to you. It wasn't deception. Read the scriptures well. It was a matter of full persuasion. Because the Bible says that he counted him faithful who had promised. And that person said what? In Isaac will your seed be. You want me to kill him? In Isaac will my seed still be. I will cut his head if you want it like that. In Isaac will my seed still be. How you are going to rearrange it, I really don't know. But one thing I know for sure is that in Isaac will my seed still be. To bring that man to that level, it took him through a lot of processes. And that was why it took 25 years for Isaac to come. Do you get my point? So when we say, thy will be done, which is Isaac? Isaac, yes. That was the beginning of the manifestation of God's will. God says, fine. As you are walking with me, you are praying the prayer, thy will be done. Every day I give you understanding. Carnegie will tell you stories, all right? Because I read him a lot. It really affected me, okay? That because a lot of divine, in fact, I told that the man was just a prophet. I was a teacher, but first of all, was a prophet. Divine manifestation withheld until God would just show him a revelation and realize that this person, his problem is unforgiveness. We'll get to the matter of unforgiveness. As long as it's unforgiving, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven, does not occur. But as long as he's praying that prayer, all right, the Holy Spirit starts pushing it. Look at this issue. Then he fixes that matter and he continues to pray. And God continues to arrange one thing after another until, you know, like he said in Isaiah chapter 4, the glory of God is revealed. Isaiah chapter 40. All right? The glory of God is revealed. How? Having brought down the mountains and elevated the valleys, having made a straight express way for the Lord in the wilderness, suddenly the glory of God is revealed. Listen, this is what I'm saying. Let me conclude. The matter of thy will be done is not, we don't know what the will of God is. Anything he wants, let him just do it. That's not it. Thy will is that we have discovered what was written. And we are wondering why we have not experienced it. 70 years has passed. We are not yet delivered. Therefore, what are we going to do? We kneel down and pray. This will, this healing, this divine manifestation, it must come. It has been promised. Himself took my infirmities and my diseases, and by his stripes, I have been healed. This is the will of God. Be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? This is the will of God. Be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? For example, you heard me say it all the time. That it says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. So if one day I just wake up and say, well, God, what's happening now? I've prophesied this thing for too long. What's happening? Then I'll wake up at night and say, listen, I'll turn to all the four corners of the room, up to heaven, down to the earth, everywhere. This is the word of the Lord. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Next day, I wake up again. Ah, what's happening? Hey, I'm owing money. I have not done this. What's going on? And then I hear, behold. Are you getting my point? This is the word of the Lord. I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. And I continue to prophesy it. And as I'm saying it, my heart is open. And God now begins to say, oh boy, listen. Because later I'm going to talk about one of the things we're going to do after we finish this, the sayings of God, is courage to conquer. Yes. There are times God says, hey, oh boy, if I give you like this, there are things you will not do. Now, it is time to arise. Listen. There are people that God said, go and take that sheet of paper, write that letter, walk out of that office. I don't want you there anymore. I'll talk about it later. Courage to conquer. There are people that, because you are afraid to write it, God will have them sack you. Don't be angry. That's why unforgiveness must never be allowed. Joseph refused to be angry with anybody. The brothers were still negotiating. We have a message for you, Your Excellency. You know, before our father died, it's not us. We don't even care. You can kill us if you want. But our father said we should tell you. They will negotiate. Did they fear? What they didn't understand was that this man had a depth of understanding that they didn't have the capacity to see. He said, no, you didn't do anything. You did not do anything. You may have been a wicked person, but as far as my life is concerned, my life is purely in God's hands. Your wickedness could only have served the purpose of God. So he said, am I in God's stead? Are you getting my point? Listen, I don't judge wickedness. God does. As far as I'm concerned, you have done the will of God. The man of the vex. You will be fired one day. I don't know who. Either you are here physically present, or listen to this on message. One, somebody listening to me will be fired. And this message is to let you know ahead of time that you must not be angry. You've heard me tell the story of Tunde Bakare. Are you getting me? There's a testimony I heard of once. A man of God said, one man, they organized a crusade. The man came for the meeting. He wore thick glasses. Not this kind of glasses that you need a drill to pass through it, you know. Thick. And as they were ministering, somebody laid hands on him, or the power of just hit him one way or the other, and he was healed. He left the place seeing clearly. Then he went home and slept. And he woke up in the morning. He was still seeing, but years of habit. He reached his hands across and picked his glasses. And suddenly he stopped. But I was prayed for yesterday. And I began to see clearly. Are you getting the point? But I was prayed for yesterday. He wanted to wait, then he waited. Then something happened. His hand shook. The glasses hit the floor. Bam! And shattered. And that solved his problem. Do you get the point? He's broken. Where are the pieces now? He couldn't wear the pieces. And he returned and gave the testimony. He was still seeing. What am I going to say? Sometimes God will help us. You are afraid to write the letter. You are afraid because they go, let me Google break the job. Bam! You are following what I'm saying. So I'm shouting, behold! And God said, relax, oh boy, oh boy. There are steps. There are businesses you should start. You are too comfortable. You know, today when we're traveling, and there are a lot of women who hang around here looking for a lift going to Oka. You've seen them on the road. Okay, unless they stop trying to stop people. Carry me. Well, and I've always wondered, how long does it take to get a lift in the morning? I don't know how long, but I'm sure it takes a while. And returning the afternoon, it takes a while. I said, this is why we need our brains enlarged. A blessed person, listen to me, go and take the message to anybody who's blessed. That blessed people don't behave like that. You know why? How many years are you going to... come on, you are the head and not the tail. How many years are you going to stand beside the road? God bless me with that one long ago. I for don't vex, resign. Why? You can't analyze it. That 2 hours every day, if God gives you a small idea, you will at least make twice the transport fare you didn't want to pay. Are you getting my point? A lot of people go through that hassle. God says, oh boy, why are you going through the hassle? Listen to me. That will be done. The issue is simple. Why are they going through it? Promotion, pension, no reason. That's all. Nobody enjoys taking that journey every day. It's promotion, pension. That's all. Suddenly God will open you and say, oh boy, take no thought for tomorrow. I'm not going to retire for another 15 years and I'm behaving like this. Baba God says, take a sheet of paper and tell them in Anambra State you are not working again. Come back home. I will make poverty harass you for 2 months so that your brain can enlarge. The first idea I will give you, you will employ all your friends that are still taking transportation. Are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes we are shouting. God says, hey, wait, I've heard the prayer. But it's crucial. Now, this is what I think. It's crucial you continue to pray that prayer and keep knocking. Because there are corrections that need to be made. Which is the reason why the will has not been manifested. And as long as you are focusing, listen, you are focusing on the will, not making excuses for its lack of manifestation. Which is the problem with people who are spiritually dead. Say it does not work. Like I said on Saturday, say, can God make all of us multi-millionaires? The answer is no, but he can make me. You understand the joke there? If you want the answer to be no, fine, take the no. My answer is yes, actually. He can. But if the answer you want is no, then ask yourself, why should I be the one he can't make? You get my point? If he's making 1,000 out of 100,000, is that plenty enough? Let me just make sure I'm in the 1% he's making. I will never make an excuse. The reason is because God is revealing something to me that will make that power break forth into my life. I told you, there's a man I read his book all the time, John G. Lake. One of the reasons why I read his book all the time is that there is a prayer I prayed. And listen, now I'm telling you, I'm reminding myself. I was in a school of ministry once. And Bishop David Oyedepo was ministering. And when it came to prayer time, there was a time he said, you must follow the will of God. You must follow the will of God. And he talked and talked and said, now we are going to pray. And we're supposed to pray that anything we are doing that's not in line with the will of God, he will reveal it. As soon as I opened that one, oh God, the answer came faster than, God, for even with me, I reached house. More will discuss him. No, so instantly, you know, now, listen to this. You know, I don't like to sound super spiritual. But I got an answer that hit my head, and as God is my witness, knocked me into my seat. I sat down, bam, all of a sudden. That was the end of prayer for me. I said, Lord, God, why did they go near that side? Which kind of thing with this? I won't dwell on that. But he answered it quickly and seriously. And in another one, we're supposed to make special requests of what we would like God to do for us in our lives. I had read John G. Lake, and I made a request like Elisha made of Elijah. And I still have the book written against that date, what I asked the Lord for that day. Preaching to you now, I remember again that I know, that's what I told the first one, I know he answered. Do you get my point? Therefore, I have the complete collection of every word ever spoken by G. Lake that was recorded. I have it beside my bed. And periodically I take it and I continue reading. It stirs up my expectation. Many of those things I've not personally experienced, but I will not change my mind. Just because I prayed for a sick man today and he died, tomorrow's one will not die. Yes, I'm telling you the truth. I will lay hands on 1,000 blind people before the first one sees, I will not be discouraged. They're not the charge for laying of hands, do they? Do I have to pay you to lay hands on you? Why? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and don't stop seeking and you shall find. Knock and be persistent in your knocking and the door will be open. You get my point? Let me end my message for today. What is the will of God? It's not to whom it may concern. Anything you like, or just do. No, we don't know what your will is. Just do it. No. No. The one I was telling you about, when the bishop led that prayer that day and we prayed it, it took me weeks of refusing, of rationalizing away the manifestation. At the end of the day, finally, the Holy Spirit helped me to pray a prayer. This one is difficult for me to do. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I knew what that will was. And eventually, that I did. Are you getting my point? All right? And that's the way it is. Nevertheless, not my will, but that one you have revealed, which we are not experiencing yet, we won't change our minds though. We will continue to pray, continue to knock until the door is open. Have you learned anything today? Have I made any sense? Have I made any sense? In that case, let's just give the Lord thanks. Let's just bow down our heads. Let's give the Lord thanks. Yes, Father, we thank you. It's a good time to initiate that prayer. Thy will be done as it is recorded in heaven. Let it be done in my life. There is something, not just thy will generally nebulous to whom it may concern. No. There is something. There is a power for healing. That is mine in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power for promotion. He said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get wealth. That is mine. Power to get well be done in my life in the name of Jesus Christ. I will not die, I will live. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ.